And we read at verse number 5, Isaiah chapter 53, and the verse we want to read is number 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And that's all I want you to read from the scriptures at the commencement of the meeting. One of the convictions that we do have in coming to speak to a meeting like this is that the book from which we read is a book that in its entirety is the Word of God. That will mean that every chapter of the Bible is full of eternal importance. But having said that, there are some chapters within the covers of this great book that have been used by God in an outstanding way to bring blessing to sinners for eternity. It is interesting that a number of those chapters are what we would call the number 3 chapters of the Bible. How many people have been blessed through John chapter 3? How many people have been blessed through Romans chapter 3? How many people have been blessed through Psalm 23? And who will ever tell how many have been blessed through Isaiah 53? What John 3 is to the Gospels, what Romans 3 is to the Epistles, what Psalm 23 is to the Book of Psalms, Isaiah chapter 53 is to the Book of the Prophets. Many names have been placed upon this chapter. Some have called it the Mount Everest of biblical prophecy. It was a chapter written something like 700 years before the Lord Jesus ever came. And yet, as you read the chapter, you would almost think that the man who wrote it was actually sitting at the foot of the cross when the words were penned. That's what makes the chapter so sweet and so precious to so many of us in this meeting, that it moves across the centuries and it places us within the shades of Calvary. I would like at the start of a meeting tonight to direct the attention of all who are here to the precious value of what the Lord Jesus did upon the cross. Have you read the story of the cross? Where Jesus bled and died, where the debt was paid by the precious blood that flowed from his wounded side. Some are here tonight and they will never forget the happy day when they first appreciated the meaning of what the Savior did at Calvary. We'll talk about it and we'll sing about it for all eternity. I trust that some tonight will be brought to value and appreciate the cross. In the collection that we have read from in this chapter, there are 15 verses. And the verse that we have read tonight is the very middle verse of those 15. I think that this text is particularly precious because not only is it the central verse of this section, but it takes us to the very center of the gospel. Let me quote the verse again. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. You couldn't read that verse without being impressed with at least 3 things, and there's only one of them that I want to speak particularly about just in the minutes at the start of the meeting. First of all, when you read the text, you will be impressed with the reality of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. Wounded, bruised, chastised, stripes. What he suffered on the cross, the lips of preachers will never tell. The minds of angels will never explore. Wounded, bruised, chastised, and stricken. This was the very chapter that gave Philip Bliss the cue for his lovely hymn. Man of sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came,
ruin sinners through the claim. And a thousand times over we could repeat tonight, hallelujah, what a Savior. My dear friend, there was one suffered on the cross that you might be saved. I hope we'll take off the shoes from off our feet to speak figuratively, and we'll tread very softly as we come beneath the shades of Calvary and listen to the dying agonies and cries of the blessed Savior, the reality of his suffering. I take a second look at this verse, and I couldn't read it without being impressed with the reason for his suffering. Why? He was wounded for our transgression. Mm-hmm. He was bruised for our iniquity. Something wrong with us. It was our sin. It was our need that took the Savior to the awful pains of Calvary. It was our condition before God. The reason for his death was our sins, our iniquities. The third thing that I see in the verse would not only be the reality of the Lord Jesus suffering, the reason for his suffering, but the verse tells me about the result of his suffering. What blessing does that bring to us? It tells us in this verse, our peace. By his stripes, we are healed. Peace. Healing. I want to have a healing meeting tonight. You know, I do imagine if this meeting had been advertised as a healing meeting, it just might have been difficult enough for the brethren of the door to get the people seated. They would say, the people would say, if we could go to a meeting like that and get healed from our arthritis and get healed from our heart problems and get healed from our back pains and all the other ailments that afflict us, I tell you, it would be well worth going. Now, dear friend, I want to talk tonight about a healing. But it's not the healing of the body. It's the healing of the soul. And this verse says, by his stripes we are healed. As far as I know, this year is just that they're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the commencement of the National Health Service in this country. Such as it is, it remains with us still. We are very thankful for it and all that it provides. You know, it's great, dear friend, to have physical healing. But what about the great blessing of spiritual healing? Now, the first thing that we have to establish is, if we are going to need healing, there must be a complaint from which we need to be healed. See, the Bible makes you say, I have no complaints. I'm as healthy as you are, and I haven't a sore joint in my body, and I could walk down the hill, and I could walk up again, and I wouldn't even be out of breath. I'm as fit as could be. I have no complaints. Now, dear friend, remember, every one of us came into the world with a very serious complaint. The awful infection of sin, it has touched every member of the human race. The poison of the plague, it has passed through and it has left us all just with a terrible disease that needs to be treated. Now, it's a serious complaint. I know that many people would say, well, I'll not worry about it. I know that I'm not right, and I know that there's something really wrong with me, and I'm not right to meet God, and there's something that I should be thinking about. But they just go on, and they go on, and they try and never pay any attention. But now, dear friend, the serious disease that every one of us has is the solemn complaint of sin. Now, it's a plague. Touches our minds. Touches our hearts. Touches our ambitions, touches our affections. It has just touched every one of us, and it has left human beings in a very sin-sick condition. Now, it's a sad thing to be affected by the awful plague of sin. Not everybody feels it. You know, there are some diseases that you can have for a long time and you never would feel them. Unfortunately, I'm not going to hurt anyone's feelings. The unfortunate thing is, some people can have things and never feel them until they're too late. You see, the disease of sin's like that. person can practice sin, a person can live in sin, a person can just go on in the ordinary way of going, never think about God, and just serve the devil, and think that everything's okay, and never feel any trouble. I would love, dear friend, there would just be someone at this meeting groaning, longing to get delivered from the awful disease of sin. We sang there just a minute or two ago as the people were gathering, "How lost was my condition. The worst of all diseases is light compared with sin." Dear friend, it's a serious thing to be a sinner. We all were born with a very, very, very difficult and serious complaint. And if we're ever going to be in heaven, we need to get the healing. The healing. Now, I don't only want to talk about the complaint that needs to be healed, but I want to think about the cost that was paid to provide healing. One of the advantages that we have had for a long time in this country is more or less free medical treatment. Mind you, if you were in some of the places that have to pay for it, you would find a big difference. I was hearing of a man in another part, and he had hurt his finger a little bit. Our brother will know exactly what I'm talking about when I mention some of these figures, and he just had to go to casualty for a very little bit of treatment, and they opened a tray, and they put a little bandage and maybe one stitch in a finger, and he had to pay $400. I heard about another man got one injection for heart problem, not injection they give him, and he was told that that one injection cost £400. You see, providing help, and providing help can be a very, very costly thing. But I want to say that there was nothing ever cost so much as this. Providing healing from the plague of sin. I'll come back to the text. It says, "By his stripes we are healed." You know, the physician that we are talking about is the one that hung upon the cross. There was an awful stroke that came down upon the person of the Lord Jesus. And you see, the point of this passage is this, dear friend, that when the Savior was suffering upon the cross, he was bearing the judgment that was due to our sin. We never tire in quoting the words, "The judgment fell on Jesus' head. By his shed blood, the debt was paid. God's justice can demand no more, and mercy can dispense her store. By his stripes we are healed." It cost the Savior. You know, a doctor, you can go to a doctor with a complaint and he can give you a few tablets and say that'll do you well. You can go to a man that's maybe to do surgery and he performs the surgery on the patient and he can maybe make them well again, but he doesn't cut himself with the lance. He has skill, but there's no suffering for him in bringing help to his patient. But the thing that touches our hearts when it comes to the gospel is this. The one who was the physician, dear friend, it wasn't just a matter of giving out tablets. And the one who's the great physician to bring healing to our souls, it wasn't just a matter of writing prescriptions. You see, before we could ever be saved, he actually had to suffer on the cross. Mm-hmm. Nailed, bruised, wounded, stricken, suffering, as I've already said. And every Christian tonight in the meeting loves these precious words. By his stripes, we are healed. The physician has been wounded in order to bring to us the blessing. There never was a healing that was so costly as the healing of sin-sick souls, because it involved the deepest suffering of the Lord Jesus. Have you appreciated that? One of the things that I do want to mention is the healing that the Savior brings is perfect healing. It's not something that's half done. It's not something that needs any supplement. You see, those dear friends who have had the healing from Christ, they are made completely well. You know, when the Savior was here and when he was healing people's bodies, if he met a man that was lame and he healed him, or maybe a man that couldn't walk at all, the man didn't have to use crutches. The Savior didn't say, now, get up and walk, and maybe you can use a walking stick for a while. Not at all. When the Savior healed a man, he was able to walk as well as a man ever walked. When he came to a man that was blind, he didn't say, now, I'll touch your eye, and that'll help you a wee bit. Go away down there, and they'll give you a pair of glasses, and maybe you'll be able to see after a wee while. Not at all. When the Savior healed a man's eyes, he was able to see as clear as the light of day. The healings that he gave were perfect. Do you know the night that I trusted Christ to get the healing for my soul? The healing was so perfect that every sin that I'd ever committed was completely taken away. No partway measures. Doth his grace provide? Finished the work was when the Savior died. Healing. And another thing about the healings of Christ, not only were they perfect, but they took place in a moment of time. You see, he didn't say to somebody, now I touch your eyes, come back into a week and see maybe what we can do. He never had to say anybody, try that and see how that works. And no, David, whatever the Savior did, he did it so well that it was just done in a moment. And it was a complete transformation. Now let me speak to you. There's maybe someone that's come to this meeting, and you never dreamt, before you came up the little hill there, or whoever brought you to the meeting, you never dreamt when you were coming through the door, that just in that very meeting, I could get to know Christ as my personal Savior. Do you know, dear friend, something could take place in this one meeting in a moment of time. It would make a change for you, not only for the rest of your life, but it would mean that you'd be absolutely sure of heaven for all eternity. Completely healed. Completely forgiven. The plague completely taken away. And you would say, thank God there was one ever died upon the cross for me, because by his stripes I have been healed. There's a costly cure. And thank God, dear friend, there's a complete cure. And another point I want to mention is this, that this cure is available. It's as close as the very meeting tonight. One of the complaints I often hear people make about the service that I just mentioned, I'm talking about the National Health Service, a complaint that people often make is, when you really need it, they're not there. And somebody gets into one of these heart attacks, and the ambulance has to come for 25 miles, and they ring the phone, and the ambulance is coming with blue lights and everything as quick as it can, but it's just the help's not close enough. Some of those sad occasions, the help just arrives, and the people say, if it just had been a little bit more available, if it just had been a little bit closer, if it just had been able to obtain it just a little bit more easily. And then maybe they say, you ring the doctor and you're not well at all, and he says, could you not come? Could you not come to see me? And you're half dying in bed and can hardly get a foot out of it. And he says, could you not come? Because I can't go. I'm too bad. If you can come, and maybe you just, oh, there's no way I could make it. It's too far away. Do you know, dear friend, you could get the salvation of Christ tonight and you wouldn't even need to leave your seat. You wouldn't need to travel a mile. You wouldn't need to raise a hand. You wouldn't need to move a foot. You say, how do I get it? You just get it by putting your trust entirely in the physician who died. Leave yourself entirely in his care. You know, there's one thing that a doctor, I don't know much about them, but I have gathered this over the years, that a doctor, if he's treating you, he likes you to accept his whole treatment. Doesn't like you to be dabbling away at some other little thing on the side. Many people are taking so many pills for different ailments that they do get better, they'll never know which one it was that helped them. But a doctor would say, now look, I'll help you, but you'll have to put yourself in my hands. And if I'm going to help you, you'll have to commit your case to me and leave it all with me. I tell you, dear friend, that's just what I did the night that I got saved. I left it all with Jesus. I put myself entirely in his hands. I said, I've a plague, I've a burden, I've a life of sin that needs to be forgiven. There's a healing that I would need. He died upon the cross to provide it. I'll just trust myself to his care. And thank God, dear friend, he gave me all I needed for eternity. By his stripes, we are healed. Wouldn't it be great if you were going away from the meeting, saying I got healed at the meeting? Now, you'll maybe still have arthritis in the morning if you have it tonight, and you get saved tonight. When you're waking up tomorrow morning, you still have a pain in your hip or your back or wherever it is. And if you have angina tonight and you get healing, waking up tomorrow, you'll still need your little tablets. You'll still have angina. Well, you say, what good salvation? See, that's not much use. I'll tell you, dear friend, it'll not cure all your problems getting saved, but it'll cure the biggest one. And if through the night one of those big attacks come and squeezes too tight, you can say, I needn't worry, because I know Christ is my Savior. Yeah. I've been healed from the plague of sin, and I'm ready to go to the better land and enjoy the presence of Christ forever and ever. It's great to be healed. You say, is there anything else you'd want to say? There's just one thing I want to say. With the healing so free, and with the healing so available, it would be an awful tragedy to die without it. Mind you, you could miss it. And dear friend, if you die without getting this healing that I'm talking about tonight, remember, there's no healing down in hell. And I have to tell you, I'll tell it to you as kindly as I can, the complaint that you have, you mightn't feel it too much tonight. But if you die without getting the healing from Christ, remember, you're going to suffer an awful lot of pain. You're going to a big place where there's plenty of pain. No painkillers. No injections. No physician will ever work down in hell. Novel thing to land in hell and waking up and say, I could have had healing from Christ and I could have been in heaven. But here I've missed the whole business and I'm suffering. Have you suffered? Somebody says, I have suffered desperate. I've had an awful time. You have no idea how much I have suffered. Now, I'll tell you this, dear friend, that may be. But I can tell you, no matter how much you have suffered on earth, if you miss salvation, it's nothing compared to what has to be suffered in hell. It's dreadful. Dreadful. I hope that the very mention of these things will even cause you to see that the complaint is not a trifling thing. It's not like a head cold or a wee bit of a rash in your arm that you need. It's a serious complaint that would take people down to hell. And the Savior died to deliver us from it. I hope you'll come to the great physician, that you'll put your trust in him, and you'll say, not only has he healed others, but thank God he has healed me. You know, quite a few samples. I have discovered in traveling about a little bit that people love to tell you if they've had a sickness. People love to talk about sickness. The weather and sickness are great topics of conversation. And especially if people have had a sickness and they've got healed from it, they love to say, I was bad with that. I said, but I tell you, I got in touch with a man and he gave me stuff and I did the trick. I was right as paint ever since. And they love to tell you about it. They say, if you thought you should get in touch with that same person, I'll tell you, dear friend, we have found a person that can heal the problem. We have plenty of samples here. All these men and many of these women, we have found healing in Christ, and he has saved us from our sin. Plenty of healthy samples. He healed us. Blessed be his name. He would heal you if you trust him. Don't leave the meeting until you can say, he was wounded for my transgressions. Amen. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. May it be so, for the Lord's sake and your sake.
Amen.